Good evening, L'chaim, and a guten Chodesh. Tonight is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and our sages say, just like Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the year, it's not just the first day of the year, but it gives blessings and positive signals to the entire year, like a head gives the body, and so to every Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month, it sends blessings to the entire month. So this month is an auspicious month. We have Gimel Tammuz, we have Yud Beis Tammuz, and today, as we're standing here, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, may Hashem bless us all, that today should give good vibes, good blessings. Whoever needs good health and parnasa and nachas, that we should all be blessed in a way, b'tayb hanira v'anigla, in a revealed way. Amen. So Yankel is walking down the street, and he sees coming towards him a man. He squints, and he shouts, "Wow, Moshe! Moshe, I haven't seen you in 30 years. The last time I saw you was in yeshiva 30 years ago. Wow, Moshe, it's amazing to see you, but Moshe, you've changed. You used to have thick glasses, and now you're walking without any glasses. Wow, it must be LASIK. It's a miracle. And Moshe, you used to have, you used to be balding. Remember in yeshiva, you used to always be complaining about your bald head, and now you have a full head of hair. What are you taking? Rogaine. You have a toupee. What's going on? And Moshe, you used to walk over with a hunchback, and today you're standing tall, you're walking straight up. Moshe, it's amazing, miracles of medicine." And the man gets a little edge in, he says, "My name is not Moshe, I'm Chaim." And Yankel says, "Wow, amazing, we even changed your name." "My name is not Rabbi Groner. My father wasn't the Rebbe's masker. And I didn't come from Israel. Although I spent a little time recently in Magic Mountain, and I rode the bullet and the arrow and the all those wonderful rides up and down. And I can tell you that my English is probably closer to Rabbi Groner's from Israel than Rabbi Morty's. But I think what allows me to stand up here today and what I share with Rabbi Groner is the fact that I was privileged and charged by the Rebbe with the responsibility, together with my wife and my children, to be shluchim and to bring the Rebbe's vision of Torah, Yiddishkeit, Chassidishkeit to every corner of the world. And we have to mention Rabbi Gordon, who I have a karas hatoiv, who was very instrumental in bringing our family out and making us part of the Chabad of the Valley family, even though technically Santa Clarita may be a little different city, but he welcomed us in the Chabad of the Valley family. And I was a big fan of Rabbi Gordon, Yeshua ben Yamin Gordon. And tonight I asked my children, "Who wants to come with Tati?" And only one child agreed to come, our child Yeshua ben Yamin, was named after Rabbi Gordon. And I was a fan of Rabbi Gordon. I guess I have a fan of my son, Yeshua ben Yamin. So tonight, I'd like to spend a few minutes discussing Gimel Tammuz, the Rebbe, the Rebbe's leadership, the Rebbe's love, the Rebbe's mission, and how we as Chassidim here in San Fernando Valley can connect to the Rebbe. And what is our mission today, 31 years after Gimel Tammuz, moving forward? So recently I was at a funeral, and I'm standing at the side of the coffin about to start the funeral, and a teenager comes running up to me and says, "What's the Wi-Fi password in this place?" And I looked at him with stern eyes, and I said, "Respect for the dead." And immediately he said, "Is that uppercase or lowercase?" So tonight I want to share with you what I believe is the password. The password that the Rebbe taught each and every one of us of how to fulfill our mission, our purpose as Der HaShvi, as the seventh generation, as the final generation of Golus, and the first generation of Geula. You know, you probably saw there's memes going around of Chabad of Tehran. Yeah. You saw that picture? Is it amazing? The good news is, the groundbreaking was last week. So we're moving forward. So the Alter Rebbe, the founder of the Chabad movement, had a saying that all the Rebbeim would repeat. The Rebbe would repeat it many times. It goes in Yiddish, mit der Leben, mit der Zeit. We got to live with the times. And the Alter Rebbe didn't mean living with the times, getting the latest iPhone, although that's nothing wrong with that. The Alter Rebbe didn't mean driving the latest Tesla. There may be something, it depends where you stand. But the Alter Rebbe meant that every week we read the Torah portion of the week, the Parshas HaShavua. And whatever goes on during the week, whether it's an eventful day in the calendar, whether something going on in our lives, we have to look into the Parshas HaShavua and the Torah portion of the week and learn messages from this Torah portion. So today, tonight, I'd like to share with you some of the Rebbe's teachings in this week's Torah portion, fascinating ideas that sort of will connect us with the Rebbe's idea, the Rebbe's vision, and the Rebbe's leadership. So we find ourselves in the book of Bamidbar, the book of Numbers. We're already the fifth Torah portion in. And if you look at the first five Parshas of Bamidbar, you'll find one general theme running through all five Parshas. And that is this theme of leadership, of Nesiim. Right in the beginning of Bamidbar, Hashem tells Moshe to take a census. He says, "Ve'ele shmoisu anashim asher yamdu itchem." These are the names of the men that will be with you. And he names the 12 leaders, the Nesiim of the tribes. In Parshas Nosai, it's a long Torah portion because it goes through each one of the Nesiim, the leaders of the Jewish people, the 12 leaders of 12 tribes, of the gifts and the sacrifices, the offerings they brought in the Mishkan, the inauguration of the temple. And then you have Baal Loischa. Hashem tells Aaron, you're also a leader. You're the leader of the tribe of Levi, and you have a special mission to light the menorah. Last week's Torah portion, Shlach, begins with Moshe sending spies, scouts, to scout the land of Israel, and it names the names of the Nesiim of the leaders. And this week's Torah portion, Korach, we learn about Korach and his gang rebelling and fighting against Moshe and Aaron's leadership, contesting the leadership of Aaron and Moshe. What is a leader? What does it mean to be a Jewish leader? So for that, we look way back in the Torah, the first time the Torah mentions Nesiim leadership. And the Torah tells us that after the sin of the golden calf, Hashem tells Moshe, tell the Jewish people, v'yikhu li truma. Contribute. Contribute to the building of the tabernacle. And everybody brought. And then the Torah says, v'nesiim heviyu. The Nesiim, the leaders, brought certain Avnei Shoyim, Avnei Miluyim, certain stones that was needed for the breastplate and the ephod. But every word and every letter in the Torah is precise. There's no such thing as an extra letter or lacking a letter. You know, they tell a story of a man who wants to open a fish store. Well, he needs a sign. But he's a very frugal individual, very cheap. So he goes to Signorama and he says, I'm opening a fish store, but I want a sign. I know you charge by the letter. I need a sign with the fewest words and the shortest words. Next day, he's called in to look at the proof, and there's a big sign, big proof. It says, fresh fish sold here. And the man says, no, it's way too much. He says, what do you mean? It's four words. He says, take out the last word, fresh fish sold here. I mean, what will people think? There? My store is here. The sign is here. It doesn't have to say here. Okay. Comes up the next day, the three words, fresh fish sold. He says, no, too much, too much. He says, what's too much? He says, why do you have to write the word fresh? When was the last time you walked in the store and they sold rotten fish? Of course, if I'm selling fish, I'm a store, I'm selling fresh fish. So the next day he comes and there was a new proof and it said, fish sold. Man says, no, it's still too much. He says, why is it too much? It's two words. He says, why do you have to write fish sold? When was the last time you went to a store that gives away free fish? Of course we're selling fish. We're a store. Finally, for the last time, come back tomorrow. He comes back tomorrow, and there's one big word on the sign that says fish. He says, still too much. He says, what do you mean? He says, people who walk by my store, as soon as they come to the beginning of the block, you can smell fish a block away. They'll smell the fish. They'll look at my store. They'll see a big aquarium of fish. What do they think? I'm a moyel. I'm selling watches. Of course I'm selling fish. But all humor aside, When you look in the Torah, when the sages looked at the Torah and they saw a word with a missing letter or an extra letter, an extra word, there's no extra in the Torah. Every letter is there for a purpose. So the sages look and they see when the Torah says, V'hanesiyim heviyu, and the leaders brought contributions, their stones, it's missing a yud. There's one letter missing. There must be a reason. So Rashi explains that there was something lacking about the leadership of these leaders, the way they brought. What happened? When Hashem told Moshe to tell the Jewish people to bring contributions, the leader said, it's okay, we're going to bring at the end. Let everybody else bring, we're going to cover the deficit at the end. Whatever is lacking, Moshe, Aaron, come to us, we're going to cover it. Well, what happened? The Jews were generous, and they contributed. They donated, they contributed more. It was like a Chabad of the Valley crowd. They just kept on giving and giving and giving and giving until Moshe Rabbeinu had to say, stop. The first and last time in history that a fundraiser said, enough is enough. And at that point, the Nesiim, the leaders, looked around and said, oi, we have nothing to bring. Well, there was something left over. They didn't have the stones, they brought the stones. So the Torah is telling us that the leadership of these people, these leaders, they were lacking in their way they gave the donations, and therefore the yud is missing. So the sages ask a simple question. What's the problem? I mean, let's ask Rabbi Maimander. If you're making a campaign, a capital campaign, and you go to somebody in the community, you ask, we'd like you to contribute. And they say, Rabbi Eimender, you do what you can, and at the end, we will fill the gap. We will get you to the goal, whatever you're missing. Be happy. That's a successful fundraising mission. That's wonderful. The first thing Rabbi Eimender does, he raises the goal, right? And then, of course, he knows he's comfortable because he has it set. And yet, the Torah looks at it as lacking. Why? And here's the key. When the Jewish people left Egypt, they left with extreme wealth. The Torah says, "Vayinatzlu es Mitzrayim," they emptied out Egypt. They went to every Egyptian man and woman and said, we need your gold, we need your silver, and they gave it to them. After the crossing of the sea, all the horses and the Egyptians, riders, they all washed on the shore, and the Jews took their gold, silver, and jewelry. They were very wealthy. And the leaders knew that. Now when it came to the mission of building the tabernacle, the leaders looked at the Jewish people and said, yes, they have enough to contribute to make many, many temples. Yeah, but they won't do it. They're not going to give that much. I'm sure there's going to be a lot left over at the end. And what they lacked was, they lacked faith and trust in the people. They didn't believe the people would actually contribute as much as they did, and they thought there's going to be a large deficit at the end, and therefore the Torah says there's something lacking in their leadership. Because a true leader has faith, has trust, and believes in his people. And what these people lacked, and thus removed the yud, we were zeichah, we merited to live in a generation where we have a leader, we have a Rebbe, who believes in every single one of us. If we look at the Rebbe's life, at the Rebbe's leadership, everything the Rebbe did, everything the Rebbe demanded was because he believed in us. I remember in the early 80s, the Rebbe came out with a campaign to learn Rambam, to learn three chapters of Rambam. Now, mind you, before then, the Rebbe demanded of everyone to learn the Chumash of the day together with Rashi, the Tanya of the day. Now, we didn't have Rabbi Gordon Abt back then, so you had to learn it. You couldn't just take a walk or take a jog and listen to your ear pods. You had to open a Chumash, open a Rashi and learn it, open a Tanya, say the Tehillim of the day. The Rebbe said learn Chassidus every morning, learn Shulchan Aruch every day. And now the Rebbe came out with a new campaign that everyone should learn three chapters of Rambam, three Prakim Rambam. And that can be tough. You know, every chapter can be 20, 30 halachas. You're talking about close to 100 laws a day in the Rambam, some of them very difficult. And of course, the first reaction, I was a young child at that point, but the reaction of many was, who has time? Who has time to learn 3 chapters of Rambam? And I know the young generation today may say, what do you mean who had time? You didn't have YouTube, you didn't have TikTok, you didn't have Instagram, what were you doing all day? Right? But we were busy. We didn't have time, at least we thought. But the Rebbe said, you have time. The Rebbe said, you can. And 40 years later, looking back, thousands of Jews are learning Rambam every day, 3 chapters. Not because we have the time, not because we think we can, because the Rebbe told us you can. Because we had a leader who believed in us and demanded of us and said, yes, you can. In 1972, the Rebbe's 70th birthday, and the Rebbe was asked whether he's going to slow down, and the famous Verbrengen, and the Rebbe says, not only won't I slow down, but I'm asking for 71 new institutions this year. Now, at that time, I think there were 3 or 4 or 5 institutions being opened every year, and a leap from 5 to 71 was seemingly impossible. I wasn't around and I wasn't born yet, but what I hear was that the Hasidim were sitting around and stroking their beards and figuring out, how can we do this? This is impossible. But they knew it was possible, because the Rebbe told them that he wants it. And the end of the year, there were 71 new institutions, Chabad of the Valley being one of them. If you ask Rabbi Gordon, Rabbi Eiminder, some 40 years ago, 30, 35 years ago, can you transform this community, this San Fernando Valley, into what it is today? Impossible. Actually, Rabbi Gordon many times wrote to the Rebbe. He was very challenging. And he wrote to the Rebbe, it's difficult, it's hard, I can't. And the Rebbe said, you can. The Rebbe said, "B'tochin chazak, if you have faith and you have merits and you have alacrity, you can and you will transform the San Fernando Valley." And he did, together with Rabbi Morty and all the Chabad Shluchim of the Valley, because the Rebbe believed in us. The Rebbe believed in them even more than we believe in ourselves. As Rabbi Morty mentioned, that he grew up in New Haven, Connecticut. I was born in New Haven and lived there for 8 years till I moved to Montreal. And I attended a school in the New Haven Hebrew Day School, which was established by Rabbi Moshe Yitzchak Hecht, the Rebbe Shliach to New Haven. Rabbi Hecht had a very close connection relationship with the Rebbe. Once Rabbi Hecht sent a letter to the Rebbe, he had a very difficult time financially and with the school, and he sent a letter to the Rebbe telling him that he had a new idea. He sent letters, requests, I think to 10 or 15 close friends, asking them for $1,000 each. That was his fundraising campaign. I asked 10 or 15 close friends for $1,000. And the Rebbe sent him back a letter saying, you missed one close friend. His name is Menachem Schneerson. And he enclosed it with a $1,000 check. It was a very, very close connection with the Rebbe. So at one point, the very famous letter the Rebbe writes him after he wrote to the Rebbe complaining and sort of almost put in his resignation letter, telling the Rebbe that you should send somebody capable to New Haven to fulfill your mission and your vision. And the Rebbe answers, Terem Nikravani, and I answered you even before you asked, before you complained. I sent a very capable man to New Haven. His name is Rabbi Moshe Yitzchak Hecht. You should get to know him a little better. This was the Rebbe's response. The Rebbe looked as a Hasidim. He demanded a lot. But he demanded because he believed in every one of us. That's a leader. That's a Nasi. That is a Moshe Rabbeinu of our generation. You know, take a parent, for example. The parent may think that if I'm just easy on my children, I want a good relationship with my children, I'm not going to push my children. That's not a good parent. A good parent will see the potential, the power of the child, and will encourage the child, and will push the child to come to their full fruition, to come to their full potential. Imagine if Mozart's parents said, yeah, you don't have to learn the piano. Right? Imagine if Einstein's or Edison's parents said, take it easy, go play a bit. We have to recognize the power, the potential of our children and of our students, and truly bring it out. And this is what the Rebbe did to all his Hasidim. In 1988, I believe, It was after the Rebbetzin passed away. The Rebbe came out with a campaign. It was another campaign, many campaigns the Rebbe had, but one of them was to celebrate your birthday. And then who celebrate the birthday? Children celebrate birthdays, make a birthday party with a cake. But the Rebbe encouraged everyone to celebrate your birthday. Your birthday, just like Rosh Hashanah is the day, is the birthday of mankind. Hashem created mankind, and thus we celebrate, commemorate it. The day that you were born is a day that Hashem said, hey, the world needs you. You're important. I need you part of my plan, so we have to celebrate. So one of the things the Rebbe instituted was that every birthday, you should include a hachlata toiva, a good resolution. Whatever you haven't done till now, take something new at your birthday. And in 1988, my father's birthday, he decided, what can I do? My father was a chazan in a shul. What's he going to do with his birthday? He's going to daven nicer, louder, longer. What's he going to do? So he decided, you know, the Rebbe said that we're all menorahs, we're all lights, we all should be illuminating to our surroundings. So he decided he's going to write a fax. This is before he had computers. So he's going to write a Dvar Torah and fax it to a couple friends. And he'll call it Torah fax. And that's what he did. Sent a couple faxes out. And before long, the word got out. And I remember 1989 in our basement in Montreal, we had a line full, the whole room full of fax machines. It's before automation. So every night before he went to sleep, my father would put a paper into each of the fax machines, and he would pre-program like 100 numbers in each machine, and the whole night you'd hear the fax machines running, all because the Rebbe encouraged to do one mitzvah, one thing you haven't done till now. If you asked my father 40 years ago, do you think you can become a global rabbi and make Bali Tshuvas and be a teacher to Jews in Australia and Europe? Impossible. But the Rebbe said it is possible. All you have to do is take a hachlota teva, take a good resolution. And today, my father sends out, doesn't send faxes anymore, but his emails. And he sends thousands of emails on a daily basis called the Torah fax to inspire Jews around the world. That was the Rebbe's leadership. The Rebbe said, you don't think you can? I'm telling you, you can. You don't think you can be a menorah and light up the world around you? I'm telling you, you can. And that was the leadership of the Rebbe. The Rebbe looked at us and said, you can. The Rebbe actually mentioned that somebody once asked him, how can you demand so much of us? Every year you want us to take a new hachlata. And what about last year's? You can't drop that one. So you got to keep on adding and adding and adding. And the Rebbe answered, why not? What's the problem? We do that in our daily lives. We do that in the mundane world. You know, 60 years ago, you get on a plane, you had a seat, maybe a seatbelt, and that was that. Everyone was happy. You're privileged if you can go across the country on an airplane. And then you start having seats that recline. And then you have the armrests. And now you have television screens in front of every seat. Now you pick somebody up from the airport and you ask them, how was your flight? It was horrible. It was terrible. I sat in front of the exit row, I couldn't recline, and my thing didn't go down all the way. Half of the screens of my television didn't work. It was a horrible flight. What happens? You get used to something. We get used to the seats, and now we want recliners. We get used to the recliner, now we need a television screen. We have the television screen, now we want something more. And the Rebbe said, if we can do that in our daily lives, why can't we do that in Yiddishkeit? Whatever you did till now, add something else. That will become part of your life, and you'll add something else. That will become part of your life, and you keep on growing and growing and growing. As Rabbi Mori mentioned before, it was a chassid, where every night before he went to sleep, he would say in Yiddish, Morgen wird sein gar anders. Tomorrow will be much different. We're talking about a holy Jew, somebody who was a tzaddik perhaps. But nevertheless, he said, as good as I am today, tomorrow I have to be better. We're all good. Baruch Hashem, we're all good people. We're wonderful people. But tomorrow, it's ein gar anders. Tomorrow has to be even better. I remember when I was I spent 2 years in Sydney, Australia, in Shlichus, and Rabbi Feldman, the Rebbe Shliach, he would tell us the story of how when he started bringing out yeshiva students to teach, he started, I think, with 10, 8 or 10 students. And it got too difficult. So he wrote to the Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, it's too difficult. It's expensive. It'd take out 10 students. And the Rebbe responded, L'hisafa, you should add two more. Okay, the Rebbe says, he added two more students. Next year was too difficult. He wrote to the Rebbe, but it's too difficult. And the Rebbe said, add two more. And the next few times he wrote to the Rebbe, until he got to 18 and he stopped writing to the Rebbe. But when I was there, there were 18 yeshiva students, and he managed. He managed. This building is still standing. There is still an institution. But the Rebbe's message to Rabbi Feldman and to every one of us, you don't think you can do even more. You can. Believe in yourself. Because Hashem believes in you, and I believe in you. In this week's Torah portion, we learn another beautiful quality of leadership that we saw in the Rebbe. The parsha begins with Korach rebelling against Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron. And Hashem brings a miracle. He opens up the earth. What happens? Korach becomes the first Jew in real estate. Literally. The earth swallows him up. And then another miracle occurs. A fire comes down from heaven and consumes the people. And then another miracle is an epidemic. At this point, everybody knows that Aaron is the real Kohen Gadol. And in this week, today's Torah portion, Chamishi, Thursday, the Torah tells us of another miracle that occurs. Hashem tells Moshe, take 12 staffs, one from each tribe, and write the name of the leader of that tribe on the staff. And Aaron's staff put in the middle. And we'll see what happens. The next morning, they wake up, they go to the El Moed, and what's there? Aaron's staff is blossoming Shkedim almonds. Wonderful miracle. Now, okay, Aaron wins. Okay. But the question is, who asked for this miracle? There were three miracles occurred. Everybody realized, everybody recognized, as soon as they saw Korach in the ground, and they saw the fire come down from heaven, and they experienced the epidemic, they agreed that Aaron is the right person. Why did Hashem make another miracle? Why did he take these sticks and have Aaron's staff grow Shkedim? So the Rebbe has a beautiful explanation that really brings out the leadership of the Rebbe. The Rebbe explains that what's the difference between a shevet and a matah, a branch and a staff. A shevet is something, a branch that's either connected to the tree or just ripped off the tree. You look at it, it matches the tree. You can still see the tree. It has the sap of the tree, the vitality. It's a branch. A staff, think about Moshe's walking stick, his staff. A staff is a piece of wood that's so disconnected from the tree, you can't even recognize it. It looks like a lump of wood, and that's what it is. Hashem says, take these staffs, these things that look like they're totally disconnected, put them in the oil moided, put them in a holy environment. See what happens. All the other staffs remain staffs. Aaron's staff began growing shkedim, beautiful almonds. And the message from Hashem to the Jewish people were, you want to know who is a real leader? A leader is somebody that can look at another Jew, who everybody else may look at him as if he's disconnected, secular, disconnected, whatever you may call that person. And the Rebbe would look at that individual and say, neshama, a soul. The Rebbe looked at every Yid as disconnected as they seemed, or as irreligious as they looked or acted. The Rebbe saw the sap. The Rebbe saw the soul. The Rebbe saw the sanctity of that Yid. And the Rebbe said, all you have to do is bring that Yid into an environment of Kedusha in the Oil Moyed, and you will see that the Shkedim will grow. Not just any fruit, Shkedim. You know, when you say somebody wants to learn, is learning diligently, you say Hasmada or Shkida. Shkida is the highest level. The Rebbe looked at a Yid and didn't see the external. He saw the neshama, he saw the soul. And that's what he tried to impart on his chassidim, on his shluchim. How are shluchim so successful? How did the Rebbe send thousands of Chabad rabbis and rebbetzins straight out of Koilo with a black hat, they say, like right out of the shower with a black hat and the long coats and the payas and the beards? And you're sending him to a faraway country. He's going to have an effect. He's going to be able to transform the environment. And the Rebbe said yes. Because what you're doing is you're not just approaching people, you're approaching neshama souls. And all you have to do is put them in the right, create the right environment, and you have the shkedim. I read, if you watched a story recently, it's going around on one of the social media mediums, of I think Rabbi Raps, his name is. He's interviewing a man that looks like a chassid. He's a long gray beard, but he's full of tattoos. And he tells him, you look like a dichotomy. I mean, what's going on here? You have the yarmulke and the beard, but you have full of tattoos. So the man explained and said that many years ago, I was in the Navy. And as the Navy, we would tattoo ourselves. And one day we stopped in Hong Kong, and I decided, you know, I had some hisayrus, some inspiration, Jewish inspiration. I got off, I thought, I wonder if there are Jews in Hong Kong. And right before me, I see this guy with a black hat running by. I said, you're Jewish? Of course. Is there a shul? He says, come with me. And he schlepped me to the shul. And there I met Rabbi Avtson, the shliach to Hong Kong. It was Shabbos, and it was the first time I was in an Orthodox synagogue, and everything was foreign, but I felt some holiness. And he told me, come back tomorrow, we're going to rap. He was a musician. You can rap, I'll be there tomorrow, sure. He comes here Sunday morning, and the first time in his life, he puts on tefillin. He says, that transformed me. That wrapping, the tefillin, created something, brought something out within me. This is his inspiration. And since then, I went back home, I brought tefillin, and I became religious, and now I'm leading a firm life. He says that years later, decades later, he was in Crown Heights, and he left his tefillin somewhere. He went up to get it. He came back down. He's walking outside, and who does he meet? Rabbi Avtson from Hong Kong. He says, Rabbi Avtson. He looks at him and says, yes. You don't remember me? He says, I don't remember. He says, years ago, decades ago, I was in Hong Kong. He tells him the whole story. Rabbi Avtson, of course, didn't remember. And he says, because of you, I am here today. I'm a religious Jew, and I've reconnected, and I'm leading a Jewish life. But this is the story that so many shluchim, every shliach of the Rebbe has dozens of stories that they know of, and even more stories that they don't know of. All they have to do, this says the Rebbe, is take the stick, put it into the oil moyed, create an environment in any corner of the world. Yidden will get inspired, they will come, and they will produce beautiful fruit, beautiful shkeidim. This is the revolutionary leadership of the Rebbe. The Rebbe looked at us, the shluchim and chassidim, and said, yes, you can. You can. He looked at every yid and said, you have a neshama. All you have to do is bring it out, light the fire, and the neshama will raise a flame. As we were expecting to have here a son of a masker, the son of the Rebbe's secretary. As I mentioned, my father was not the Rebbe's secretary, although my great-grandfather was the previous Rebbe's secretary and the fifth Rebbe's secretary, and my wife's great-grandfather was also the Rebbe's secretary, Rabbi Simpson, and my namesake, Khania Morozov. Back in Russia, in the former Soviet Union, communism, one of their missions were to squash religion, and particularly Judaism. And they tried, and they tried, and they tried. But there was one man who stood in the way, and that was the previous Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, who we celebrate his redemption, Chag HaGeula, in 12 days from now. And the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe took 9 chassidim, 9 disciples, and said, we are going to fight communism. We will fight to the last drop of blood, and we'll win. Anybody in that room, if anybody was in that room other than those 9 chassidim, would have said, you're crazy. It's impossible. 9 chassidim are going to revolutionize, will fight against the entire communist Russia, KGB. But they made that decision that they would go to the last drop of blood. One of those 9 was my great-grandfather, Khania Morozov. And he gave up his life. He was killed by the KGB for spreading Yiddishkeit. But the Rebbe, but the Friedrich Rebbe, he saw these 9 individuals and he said, you can, you will. And they did. And that's why we're here today. Because the previous Rebbe, because the Rebbe looked at our generation and didn't see a dead stick. He saw a generation that will usher in Mashiach. He saw a generation that the other generations, the Rebbe said, will be jealous of our generation, because we will be the ones to bring in, to usher in the coming of Mashiach. How did he see that in our generation? I don't know. Do you see it? And the answer is, the Rebbe saw Shkedim, the Rebbe saw souls. I had a visitor by us many years ago in SCV. You know, we had a question, we moved to California, so we wanted to call ourselves, you know, Chabad of. Rabbi Gordon says you can't call yourself Chabad of Santa Clarita, because the Rebbe didn't like when you say, you write Santa and Chabad in the same line. So they call it Chabad of Simcha Monica. And that's fine, you know, Simcha Monica is wonderful. But I thought when I come out, a new rabbi in town, to, you know, Chabad of Simcha Clarita, nobody will really know what's going on. So we use the name Chabad of SCV. But a few years after us, there was another rabbi who moved out in New Zealand to Chabad of, well, he moved out to a city called Christ Church. I have no idea what he calls himself, but definitely problematic. But I want to conclude. You tell me what's going on here, but the time-wise, I don't have a watcher. As I heard from Rabbi Sachs many times, that one of the beautiful leadership qualities of the Rebbe, the uniqueness of the Rebbe, was that the Rebbe never sought followers. The Rebbe didn't seek chassidim, followers. The Rebbe wanted to create leaders. When shluchim would go out around the world and open Chabad houses, many times they would ask the Rebbe, should I open this program or that program? And the Rebbe would say, you are the balabas, you are the owner of the city, you're the governor of that city, you're the senator, you are the president, it's your city. You can reach all those people. There was a shliach who once wrote into the Rebbe, as many we all write reports, and he wrote that he had 100 children for summer camp. Very proud. And the Rebbe responded, how many Jewish children are in your city? He said, I don't know, 1,000. And the Rebbe responded, and where are the other 900 children? The Rebbe wasn't rebuking him, God forbid. The Rebbe took a lot of pride in getting these duchim, these reports. But what the Rebbe was empowering him and said, you don't think you can reach all 1,000? I'm telling you, you can. And as long as you don't reach one child, you still have a job to do. Keep on working. Keep on moving. Look ahead. At the Rebbe's 80th birthday, the Rebbe said a beautiful sicha, also against retiring. You know, there's a saying that people don't stop working because they get old. They get old because they stop working. And the Rebbe says that, I'm not going to stop. The Rebbe says you have to look. The Rebbe quoted his father-in-law and said that the Zeger is a stiller Musser Zeger. The watch, the clock, is a silent preacher. It's very silent, but every second that ticks by makes a thunderous sound. How have you filled this moment? How have you bettered yourself? How have you grown today? The watch keeps on ticking, keeps on ticking, keeps on ticking. Then the Rebbe said, some people may think, oh, that's for younger people. Younger people, you have to tell them the importance of time. But the Rebbe said, there's no difference between an 18-year-old and a 119-year-old. The only difference is the past, but the future is all the same. The coming moment, the coming hour, the coming day is the same for an 18-year-old or a 119-year-old. So looking forward, we ask ourselves, and the Rebbe demands of us to ask ourselves, as a leader who believes in us, how are we going to make today count? How are we going to make today better than yesterday? How are we going to make tomorrow better than today? And the Rebbe, to conclude, the Rebbe says, you can be a leader. When Moshe Rabbeinu and Moses was told by Yehoshua that there were two people prophesizing in the camp. There were two people prophesizing. And they said, you know, generally speaking, they say that if you speak to God, you're religious. If God speaks to you, you're meshuga. Right? I don't know, people throughout the years have come to my Chabad house and said, I had a revelation. I never had those things. But we all had the revelation 3,300 years ago. It's not about the revelation on a daily basis. But these two people They had a revelation. They prophesied. And what did they prophesize? That Moshe is going to die and Yehoshua will take the Jewish people into it. Mind you, this is 2 years into the desert, so there's another 38 years. And Yeshua comes up to Moshe and says, "Adayni Moshe Kalayim, you got to get rid of these guys. These are troublemakers. We got to get rid of them. They prophesy that you're going to die." And Moshe answers, translated in English, "But halavai, I wish that all the Jewish people would be Nevi'im. Let them all be leaders. Let them all prophesy. But they prophesy you're going to die." And Moshe's response, "I don't die. Leaders don't die." What's the difference between a king and a prophet? There were tremendous kings in Jewish history who terrorized the people. They were powerful. But then they passed away. They have no influence today. There's no power today. But the prophets, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Cheskel, they had no power whatsoever. But they had influence. And when you have influence, not only doesn't it die after 120 years, but it grows and it grows and it grows. When the Rambam Maimonides lived 850 years ago, he had opposition. Of course, he had influence. People looked up to him, asked him questions. But today, 850 years later, if he mentioned the Rambam, he's the final say in halacha. There's no question. The Rambam's the Rambam. An influencer, I'm not talking about a modern influencer, but an influencer, somebody who influenced a generation, a leader, a Rebbe, a Moshe, doesn't die. Because they become even more valuable, their influence becomes even more powerful after they pass away. This artist gets a call from the art dealer and says, "You know that after the artist passes away, traditionally their art really goes up in value." He says, "I have good news and bad news for you. The good news is I got a call from somebody who wants to buy all your art." "Great. What's the bad news?" "Who's your doctor?" But an influencer, somebody who spends his life influencing, a nasi, is somebody whose influence doesn't diminish, but it grows. You go to the Kinnas HaShluchim, to the conference of Chabad rabbis, you have 3,000-4,000 rabbis in one room, and at the end, before the roll call, and the planned spontaneous dancing, you have Rabbi Kotlarsky, Olav HaShalom, we get up and say, "All the shluchim, all the Chabad rabbis who went out before 1994, stand up." Maybe 10-15% of the room would stand up. 80-90% of Chabad houses opened up after Gimel Thomas. Because like Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I don't die. My influence grows." And it's our job, it's our responsibility to keep the Rebbe's mission alive here in the valley, in the world, and to ensure that the Rebbe's dream, the Rebbe's vision, the Rebbe's prophecy, that Ot Kump Mashiach, Mashiach is coming, we're going to be the final ones because we can, because the Rebbe believed in us, because the Rebbe says that we are the Der HaShavi, just like the seventh generation, Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the Torah down into this world, we're the seventh generation that's going to bring Mashiach down into the world. You don't believe it? Well, get to know yourself better. Get to recognize who you are, your neshama, the power of your soul, that we today are, it says, the Mashiach will come when we refine the lowest levels of the world. 50, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, you still didn't have the lowest levels of the world. You didn't have the Instagram. You didn't have the TikToks. You didn't have the places that you can actually get down and elevate. And just like when you want to pick up a big load of bricks, you got to go to the bottom and lift it, and everything is lifted up. And so too we are told, when we lift up even the lowest levels of the world, the entire purpose of the world is to be fulfilled. So today, in the year 5785, to now Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, an auspicious time, we ask Hashem to end this golus, to bring an end to all our pain, our suffering, to bring peace in Eretz Yisrael, to Am Yisrael, and the ultimate geula, the ultimate simcha of all, we should celebrate together. There's going to be a special place in Yerushalayim. It's going to be the San Fernando Valley section of Jerusalem. We'll meet Rabbi Gordon again and all our loved ones, together with the Rebbe leading us. Begula, hamitis, vashlema. Amen. Amen.